this frog. It's a very tiny frog, but it's also very special. You can only find it in the jungle, so far away from here. But if you find it, and if you touch it, your world can change forever. If you touch its skin, you can feel your body change. Also, blue becomes red and red becomes blue, and your mommy suddenly becomes your daddy, and everything looks like a giant cupcake, and you keep laughing and laughing and laughing. Nothing is ever quite the same, really. And after you finish laughing, it's time to turn into a frog yourself. It's very funny to be a frog. Jump all the time and everywhere. Do you want to play with me? We can be a whole group of friends, a whole group of frogs, jumping into the streets, jumping into the planet, climbing the buildings, swimming in the lakes and in the bathtubs. We would be hundreds, thousands, millions, the biggest group of friends the world has ever seen.
Hello, and welcome to Midwave Radio. This is Big Little Questions. This is Didi Kleonski, as it is every week, almost every week. And I'm here with yet another episode and yet another guest. So, first housekeeping thing is, as always, if you are listening and you can do a little sound check and tell me, yes, we hear you, it's fine. And Ellie, say something.
Hello.
Yes, we can hear you as well. Let me know, etc. And also, sounds great. Cool. Thank you. Joanna, just a little on-air shout-out, very consistently with the sound checks. Anyway, really happy to be here. Oh, yeah, the other housekeeping, or not really housekeeping, whatever thing, is that if you are listening, we want to hear from you. We want you to send us a message and say, hello, we're listening. Here's what I thought about this thing. Whatever. During, after, all the things. Okay, so Big Little Questions is a show that I've been doing for a year. I talk about different questions that have appeared in my journals over the last, I've been saying 2 years, but at this point it's 3 years now, because Big Little Questions has been for a year. And I have a different friend on the show each week, and we talk about questions. And this week I'm so happy to have my friend Ellie on the show. But actually, we're going to do something a little different this time. Instead of talking about any questions, we're just going to read from a book called The No Cry Nap Solution that I found in a little free library. The subtitle is Guaranteed Gentle Ways to Solve All Your Naptime Problems, which if you know me and Ellie, I would say that most of our problems are like naptime problems. Would you agree?
Definitely.
So we're just going to be reading excerpts from that book, if that's okay. That's not true. We're not doing that. But we are probably going to talk about napping among other things just statistically. Okay. I guess I'm just avoiding introducing you because it feels challenging, not just because you're sitting less than 1 inch away from me, but also because we have known each other for 7 years, which feels inappropriate as an amount of time to know another person. And we met at Ascent, and also, like, I know we've talked about our friendship many times and, like, timelined it out and different parts of it, but I, like, truly cannot remember a time at Minerva before being friends with you. Like, I think maybe just Minerva started when we were friends. Like, there's not really a time before. And the things that I was thinking of that feel relevant to share are that, like, our friendship has been through many different stages and many different dynamics, but freshman year, something that is a telling thing, freshman year we were, like, truly inseparable. Like, the statistically probable thing to come out of someone's mouth after they said one of our names was the other person's name. And yesterday, as you know, because you were lying in my bed with me, I posted a picture of us napping, and I said, this is, like, the most classic representative thing, which is us napping together at a non-standard hour in a place that is neither of our bedrooms and also is not on a bed and also is a public place while we are allegedly doing our work. And the thing that feels relevant to share about that is that I think, like, all the time, and, like, rightfully so, people freshman year would wonder, like, why sleep on a beanbag in a common space instead of, and why leave the beanbag in the common space, go brush your teeth, and then return. And I think the thing that maybe people understood this, and I know that we've both gained an appreciation over time for, like, sleep hours and for our own beds, but I think the thing that maybe is missing from that question is that at any given time it was just, like, more fun to, like, be with each other than to be doing, like, literally anything else imaginable. So, like, why go sleep in your own bed when you could do something else? So that is one thing to, like, describe how this friendship is rooted. And the other kinds of things that I wanted to share that feel like good, relevant framing things are, if you know me or if you've read my emails or listened to my show or whatever, you know that I think about time all the time. And people are always like, whoa, you think about time a lot. But you, I am matched in you in terms of how much we think about time. And, like, often still, 7 years into knowing each other, like, one of us will send a message to the other, like, totally apropos of not a conversation that we've been having, and being like, oh my god, can you believe that there's the same amount of time between this semester and that semester as between the end of Minerva and now? And, like, it doesn't require context, and it is something that, like, consistently, I think, makes me feel at home in this friendship, because otherwise people are always like, yeah, 2 years, whatever. Like, it just, but it's like, I think we share an understanding of the, like, complete surreality of, like, existing in the world as, like, people who experience time. And the other, the last thing maybe that I want to say about why I'm happy to have you in my bed in general, but also on the show, is that in my bed, is that you are always, down to do things, and I wasn't worried that you would, like, I said earlier this week, I've never been worried that you would, like, come and be, like, worried that the weather is bad or that we didn't really do that many activities or something, because we, like, know how to make our own fun, and you are someone from whom I have learned a great deal about how to do that, and that, like, I know I always give this example in my own mind, and I think to you about, like, I don't know, riding home in the rain on a long bike ride and getting, like, 3 flats, like, probably wouldn't be fun if I were on my own, but is always fun with you, because when you are with the right people and in the right situations, it is true that the point of the thing is to, like, be having fun, and so it's not like, oh, I have to get to this thing. It's like, oh, I'm doing the thing that I was going to be doing anyway, which is, like, having fun with this person. So, for all those reasons and more, I am pleased to be reading excerpts from the No Cry Nap Solution on air today with you, and excited to have you on the show. And we'll pass it to you for if you have anything that you want to add before we get into our questions.
Okay. Hello, everybody.
Hello, Ellie.
I don't have too many things to add outside of that intro, which I think was an excellent encapsulation of many, many things that can be a big dawning. To encapsulate, a dawning, yeah. if you will.
I will.
But I think, yeah, one thing that I was thinking about before, right before we were starting this, and I knew you were going to ask me if I had anything I wanted to add in the introduction, and I was just thinking about all the things that I delight in and that many of those have associations with you.
Mm.
Like swimming in bodies of water and sampling and biking around and, like, taking walks at night and laying in, like, beanbags and taking naps. And that's so fun. And also, you talked about... our freshman year and also time after that when just so much of our time was spent together. And so for a long time being 4 years, really, I got used to us having like so much time to talk about so much things, so many things. And now there's still plenty of time to talk about plenty of things, but it's not the same as when we have lived in the same place or the same building or the same room. And so that's also another reason I'm excited about this is like we have had... being in person more time to talk about lots of things, and it's also fun to now have like dedicated time to do it on the radio, even though this is my first time on live radio. I'll just have everyone
know. Ellie has told me that 18 times in the last 1 hour.
So I'm so excited to chat now.
Well, furthermore, speaking of the amount of time that we spent talking, perhaps 3 minutes before the show, I asked Ellie how much time do you think that we've spent talking, and Ellie, as is her wont, did a little back of the envelope calculation in good faith, and what's the number that you, what's a ballpark?
My first estimation was 7,000 hours.
And how many hours are there in a year?
8,760.
Okay, so that's like most of a year. Which, when I say it like that, doesn't sound like that much until I imagine talking to you nonstop from midnight on January 1st until 10 months to a year later with no sleep. Okay, but we're not here to talk about each other, we're here to talk about napping. Also questions. Okay, we have some questions that we're going to put into the little thingy, the random number picker. What do you hope that it will be?
I don't.
Oh, okay. Can you read the question that, can you read the question that it is?
Yes. I love it when Didi groans when a question is selected, personally, when I listen, so I'm happy that's happened this time. The question is, will pruning my attachment to personal archives help me feel my feelings more, plus be more present?
Which I will say that when I read that question, it reads like an advertisement or like a like clean up your Google Drive like thing. Like prune your attachment to personal archives and feel more present.
Yeah.
And yet it is not. How did this question make it onto the list for you?
Well,
don't say it didn't.
It did.
Okay. Then you're going to throw me under the bus and say, I caused us to get here.
No. Well, we were both excited to talk about time because, as Didi said in the intro, we've spent so much time talking and thinking about time.
How much time do you think we've spent talking and thinking about time?
Well, if we've spent 7,000 hours, I don't know, but a significant amount.
Yeah.
And this one felt especially relevant to our friendship because, as some listeners may or may not know, we spent almost all of freshman year keeping... Every Sunday, we would do an activity that somehow got named Mush Mind, and during it, we would write
down... Which literally is what we were doing.
Yeah, mushing minds. And we would write down, collect, like, together, everything that had happened that week.
Like, everything.
Like, everything. It was very detailed.
Extremely granular.
It's a great archive, but it also turned into a, like, very kind of comprehensive... knowledge or like keeping track of everything that had happened in like all of the weeks and all of the years and all of the days in the weeks, and so we just spent so much time thinking about and tracking everything that had happened in a like very structured archival way, and then it tapered out in the second year, and then like both have had different relationships to keeping track of like things that happen in time and stuff, and so that's why it made it onto the list.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna read the question again I forgot it, and the listeners may have also.
Because you didn't take enough naps today.
Probably, yeah.
We're working on the no cry.
I took no naps. Too much crying. The question is, Will pruning my attachment to personal archives.
That's a dumb way to write this.
I like it. Help me feel my feelings more and be more present. Okay. What are your thoughts?
Well, can I ask? I'm curious about if you have, like, that was about the, like, what do we mean even by personal archives and whatever, but I'm curious if you have, like, an introductory thought to this, to the second piece. I know that that's, like, something I've thought about a lot, but I don't actually know if that's something that, like, has been a part of your relationship to journaling and archiving and whatever. It's, like, present. As Ted and I also talked about a little bit last week, so if you listen last week, you'll hear a thread there.
Yeah, I think that it's interesting because naturally I'm not a good journaler. Mm-hmm. Like, I just, it's hard for me to do consistently. And so when we were writing things down together, I loved it because it made it feel like possible for me to do. Whereas usually if I'm just doing it myself, I will sometimes write things down when there's like a big event or something that I like really want to keep track of, like a big activity, but it's not something that, is like as standardizedly collected.
Yeah.
But there are other ways, like calendars.
Yeah.
Putting things on calendars to remember when things happen. But regardless of the mechanism, I do think I've thought about, like, what is the utility in spending time trying to remember, because it takes effort. Like, it takes effort to keep track, and then it takes effort to review the keeping track mechanisms and solidify those in brain.
Yeah.
And what is the utility of that versus just, like, letting whatever sticks stick?
Yeah.
And I think, and I don't know. The challenge is that whenever I go back to something that I have carefully recorded, I love it.
Yeah.
And I love having it.
Right.
And yet, then it places so much
pressure,
energy and pressure into the past already that has already gone by.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how to, like, but there is still delight in encountering it.
Yeah.
So I'm unsure of how to kind of.
Yeah. There's lots of stories. Okay, so I was talking to, I can't remember if I mentioned this last week, but I was, or a previous week, I was talking to my friend Sonia a couple weeks ago about journaling, and she was like, I want to start journaling. Sorry, Sonia, to publicly hold you accountable. One thing we were talking about is the, like, the particular anxiety of, like, well, if I, like, now if I have this one way that I'm like, oh, this is how I'm keeping track and this is how I'm remembering, then there's like such a, there's such a weight to, like, okay, well, what if something doesn't make it in? And and in well, maybe all students of history, but certainly Minerva history students will have a relationship to the phrase about, like, the one, public and private transcripts, and two, like, silences in history, including in one's own personal history, which is, like, what are the parts of me that I didn't let speak, and what are the parts of, like, things that I didn't record, and actually sometimes on the busiest days that's when I don't really journal, because blah, 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 and also the stress of, like, or the, like, anxiety of, like, oh, I didn't, if this didn't make it in. And so it's interesting, because when I think particularly about that thing that we did freshman year, mush mind, I think about, like, I've never really done something like that with another person. Like, I've had various, like, archive record keeping things on my own, and one, even though there's actually not that much, like, processing in it, it's a lot more, like, factual almost, and not like, and here's how we felt about that, and here's how we thought about this and whatever, but because it came from us talking about it in real time with each other, I feel like sometimes when I read other parts of my journals that are, like, pretty fat, like, because on days when I'm tired or months when whatever, and it'll be pretty, like, I did this and I did that, and I'm like, okay, girl, like, give me a little bit more. Like, you literally, like, what was the point of writing? Like, this tells me nothing. Even though, whatever. But I think even the, like, more, like, factual whatever, or, like, more, like, here's what we did, still are attached to a lot more, like, memory and are, like, more evocative. And I think that's in part because we did that with each other. And so that that brings me to one thing about the second piece of this question, which is, like about... I don't really even have a question there. Just about, like, remembering things... Like, what is your relationship to remembering things as a self, as one self, or remembering or recording things as a self versus as, like, in conversation in conversation or in relationship with other people.
Hmm.
If you have a thing that comes to mind.
Hmm. Interesting question.
Thank you. Should we close it now?
Yeah, I think we can call that it.
Okay.
No. Yeah, I think the first thing that comes to mind, like I said before, is about accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Like, both in doing the reflection or the writing down or the whatever when there is another person, because when it's just me, I often don't do it. But then there's also, I think, something even cooler, which is a sense of, like, shared memory and a like corroboration of the memory. And when you're talking about, I was not a Minerva history student, but when you're talking about, like,
really, I thought you took only English classes.
But when you're talking about, like, silencing and things being lost and what's included and what's not, there's, like, a comfort in that comes, I feel like, in sharing history and memories with at least one other person, because then there is, like, okay, well, even if I painted it this way or I forgot this thing, then great, because the other person maybe will fill in those gaps.
Okay, so I have another question here, which is, like, moving maybe away from journaling specifically, but when you think about, and I know we both are people who, like, are attached to our pictures, are attached to, like, things that we have, where we are knockwood meticulous backers up of computers and the like. We are consistent reminders to each other to also do that. We, like, send consistent reminders to the other. And I guess I, as people who both do this a lot on their own and talk about it a lot with each other, they're, like, sending old pictures, whatever. Like, what is your emotional experience of that activity?
Of, like, sharing old memorabilia.
Not even just sharing, but also, well, yeah, both sharing, but also, like when you, like, sometimes you'll text me and you'll be like, oh my God, I just fell into, like, a San Francisco hole. I just spent 2 hours looking through such and such. Like, what is your, because I think that that has meant different things to me at different times, and I think it's very related to this question, where sometimes what happens for me, just sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes what happens for me is that then I'm like, and this, there's another question on here about, like, past happiness versus present happiness, is that I'm, is that I just am, like, kind of, like, mopey nostalgia, or, like, did you read the essay in Empathy Exams about, like, what's the word for when something is, like, too sweet?
Saccharine.
Okay. Yeah. Did you read that?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, she talks about that, and I don't actually remember what she says, but I just remember that as a theme of, like, sometimes I'm, like, okay, close the computer. Like, what is this doing for you? But also, it brings me a lot of joy and meaning. So I'm curious about your, like, emotional experience, because I don't think we've ever actually, like, talked about that.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing, I'll answer that question shortly, and the other thing, just before I forget, that came up when we were talking about kind of the utility of archiving effectively for self or in collaboration, is I mentioned that, like, having things written down is very delightful to see.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes can take a lot of time or energy. But I felt like what I left out of that reflection was
Reflection
is what is the risk of not doing it? And I think in thinking about it more, part of it is, like, losing ground on things that you've learned or experienced. You know, like, if I keep learning the same lesson over and over, and the reason that I don't know that I've already learned it before is because I have no record of it, then I think that's actually a risk.
Counterpoint, briefly, okay. is that, but then I don't want you to forget the question.
Yeah,
that
I got it,
also,
I got
okay.
it.
Not counterpoint, whatever, but that, like, I will read through, or maybe you even saw this, as you literally just read through a document of almost all my questions from the last 3 years. It's like, how often, months or years apart, do the same
questions
appear? And I think I'll, like, or, like, you know, when am I going to finally do this thing? And then, like, 8 months later, it's like, when am I going to finally do this thing? And it's like, okay, did writing that down?
Yeah.
So just not even, I think counterpoint was too strong a word, but just that I think I agree with that, and that's clear, like, what you said, and that's clearly part of why, or for me, clearly part of why I do it.
Yeah.
And I don't think that it is a, unfortunately, the word that came to mind is prophylactic against... anyway.
Yeah. Okay, fair. Though, I do think that there is some distinction between, like, the nature of realizations and of questions, yeah. right? Because, like, questions can reincarnate, like, can come back yeah. over and over and over. Because if we have a question, we probably don't have an answer yeah. to it, right? But if it's like, I had this experience and I learned this thing about myself, then...
Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I feel like that's a different category of thing that can easily be lost.
Yeah.
Like, we think so many things in our head every day, and we,
just
like...
Just me and you.
Yeah, just us. Most people, I think, aren't. No. Just kidding.
You're gonna alienate the listenership.
Uh-oh. Hey, listenership.
They're right there.
Everyone is...
Oh, there's so many of them. Hi, guys. Off.
Hey, everyone.
No, there's more.
Not after the alien shipping. No, but I do think that there is perhaps, to me, an interesting component of, like, the things that are recorded and what is important yeah. to record and what is, but also what is generative to record. Like, maybe recording questions is less like, oh, I learned these things mm-hmm. and now can take it forward, but also, like, once you plant the seed of writing the question down, then there's more room for it to be, like, thought about.
I like the idea. Well, I like the idea.
Well, it's fair because also you journal and I don't. So,
well, yeah. Like, trying to retort, but part of the... No, I really do like the distinction between, like a realization and a question, and mm-hmm. I do think that it's true I don't think that it's true necessarily that there's actually a difference, but I do mm-hmm. think that it's true that there is the illusion of a difference. Mm-hmm. And the piece that I wanted to pick out from what you said mm-hmm. also was that, like, I think in my experience also, like, in the same way that questions can reincarnate and a question that meant X to me 4 years ago mm-hmm. can mean, you know, Y to me now mm-hmm. or X times 3 to me now or whatever. Right. Like, I do think that the same is true for, like, realizations about self where you're like, oh, I learned this about myself in this context.
True.
But, like, as we know about counterfactuals, like, it's never possible to so fully isolate a set of factors. And I do think that, like, sometimes I get frustrated with the, like, why do I feel like I'm learning the same or not learning the same thing over and over? And it's like, well, but, I'm not in the same thing. That I was in last time had this realization.
Do you think that having record of the realization the first time, even if it comes up again in a different way or a different flavor or a different intensity, impacts the way that you, like, process or notice or act on it the second or third or fifth time?
I hope so, and I do think so. And I think in particular about, like, well, I know that you have been present for so many of these realizations, but, like, about, like, specifically, like, relationships and, mm-hmm. like being in romantic relationships. And, like, I think that there was a time that I first was in the, like, mindset that I was in now, which is, like, oh, it's, like, so... Or not that I'm in now, but that I just mm-hmm. said, mm-hmm. which is, like, oh, it's, like, so... hard to, like, separate out the different factors and, like, yes, I've learned this thing in this different situation, mm-hmm. but maybe it's different now, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then after enough times of that, it's like, oh, well, actually, across many types of contexts, I can see, both because I have friends who can remind me, mm-hmm. and that's an archive, too.
Shared memories.
And because I have, like, my own archives of this mm-hmm. thing, I can see that, like, yes, true, like, you don't always need to learn something in one go, and at some point you can be like, well, but, okay, regardless of what the context is and what the surrounding situation is, like, this is still what's true. So I think in that sense, yeah.
Cool.
Okay, do you want to go back to that
sure.
question?
Yeah, I think so, as a reminder, because we...
Rhizome.
The question was around the relationship to basically memories of the past
yeah
in often photo, video, or other, like, letters or other forms
yeah or, like, what is your relationship to, like, the perusal
and the emotional experience yeah. of that. So I think my experience is often similar to what you described. Sometimes I think there is a component that is similar to what I said about reading old things that I have written mm. that is just delight in remembering. Mm. Like, even if the memory itself isn't delightful, there mm. is some fun
yeah.
in just
yeah.
having a reason.
We are wallowers.
To remember. Yeah, we're definitely. And like, I think we both have a, like, high tendency towards nostalgia. Which I'm fine with. I like nostalgia. I mean,
Sometimes we really feed each other.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
That's why when I need to be fed more, then I send you some of the content that I'm looking at.
Because you know that it's going to pull me in hook, line, and sinker.
Exactly.
As a fish.
As a fish. But I don't often feel... I don't know that wallow is the word I would have picked out, but it might be a good one. I think it is more often, like, a missing of past than comparison to present.
Yeah.
Like, it's not so often a, oh, it used to be that, and now it's this, and I wish it were that. Mm-hmm. Not that, but more of a, that was that, yeah. I liked that, and I liked that.
Okay, so great. This is, like, a question that I have all the time, which is, like, what does it mean to miss something when it's not a wishing for the present? Because I know it's, I feel like it's really clear to me what it means to miss something that is, like, when I'm, when it's a pandemic and I'm like, I wish I lived in a building with all my friends, or when I'm depressed and I'm like, wow, look at this time that I got to do all these fun things and felt really good about it.
Yeah.
Like, that's a really clear, definite, or, like, meaning of, like, what it is to miss something. But I think I am much more confused about in myself and in, like, a general sense, like, what is the emotional experience of, what is the, like, maybe not even better than emotional experience, like, what is the content of the feeling of, like, I miss this thing when it's not, and I wish to be in
and
that.
And I want it back.
Like, what,
I, maybe this is just the, like, realist side of me, but I feel that it is sometimes impacted when the return to that state feels implausible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we just won't be back living in the dorms, surrounded by all of our classmate friends. Like, it's just not gonna happen.
Yeah.
And so,
Ellie brought me on the radio to crash some reality down.
No, but, like, for all of the parts of me that aren't always, like, rational or operate by logic, there's also some component, I feel like, that makes these kinds of nostalgias easier not to try to anchor to.
Interesting.
When they feel less plausible to return. Whereas if, say, I'm, like, missing being with a person, and it feels more plausible of, like, oh, I could just theoretically go be with that person, right? Then it is harder for me not to anchor to that, because there's, like, a difference in feelings of plausibility. And I'll pause there. What do you think?
I'm just gonna do it, make sure our sound, no one is saying yes. Okay. sometimes I get I have to check my phone in the middle and
there
say,
we go.
Well, it's interesting that you say that. There's, like, it sounds like for you, or at least just what you just said, is, like, there's maybe a difference. The conceivable retrievability of something, or, like, relivability of something. And I don't know that I feel that way. Mm-hmm. Like, or rather, I don't know that I feel like that, for me, is the distinction between I think what I'm trying to get at is that it sounds like you're, like, locating the distinction as being between different kinds of past. Whereas I think what I'm experience, or at least what I'm thinking about, is between different kinds of present. Like, am I happy now? And I still miss this, and what does that mean?
Yeah.
That's the question. Whether or not it's, like, a thing that feels retrievable versus the thing that's more easily understandable, which is, like, I'm not happy, so I miss this. So that's the clear meaning of missing is I want this.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I have an answer to, like, still what is like missing mean when it's not, like, I want to relive this or something.
Yeah. No, I agree. I feel like the plausibility of retrievability or whatever. Conceivably retrievable.
That's our new band.
Yeah.
Check it out on Tuesday nights on Midway Radio.
We just read No Crying Not Solution to heavy metal. I think that is a component, but no, I agree that there is also a weighing of push and pull of past and of memory and future, of even if there are things that were so lovely about the moment that's being remembered, if I just think about it, those things are likely to come to mind. But if I put myself into a position of, like, returning to that, then it requires a weighing of, like, oh, what was that like? Like, oh, I was doing my homework for X number of hours a day, and and this and that, that I maybe also don't want to return to, coupled with the present of, like, oh, if I were to return to that, then it would be also a loss of, like, all of the beautiful things in the present. And so it feels like an optimization of pull.
Guys,
pull.
Optimization counter at one.
Wow, that's pretty good. 36 minutes is only one mention of optimization.
Oh, shit. Good time check.
But yeah, maybe we should transition questions in a bit. But it does feel like a balance between push and pull of present and that situation, and also plausibility of retrievability.
I think for also me. For me, so much of the, like, the, and maybe this is the relationship between retrievability and what is missing when it's, what does missing mean when it doesn't mean, and I want to do that thing, is, like, a lot of it feels like, surprise, it's about time. And specifically is about just a, like, constant, sometimes high level, but at a baseline, constant low level anxiety about, like, you know, the passage of time, and everything always goes too fast, and we have one of the whatever, all the things. and that I think like, maybe what I, and this is, I think, yes, where retrievability comes in, like, maybe what I mean when I say to myself, or when I think that, like, I miss something, is like, oh, I don't want to trade in what's happening right now or all the things that have happened since. I still want those to happen, but, like, I want the sense that those things are in the future, that whatever, and I think in some ways, like, I don't think that this is true, and I think it's kind of a fatalist, and I don't really feel this way, at least right now, but I think that, like, the, like, feeling of, like a narrowing is something that I'm very, like, anti. I know we both are, you know, like, there's so many things you want to do, and this and that, and, like, how long are we, you know, jobs are hard, because then it's hard to do the things you want to do sometimes, and just, like, generically, and whatever, and I think, like, what means I miss something is, like, I miss a wider, like, a not yet narrowed something, even though I don't most of the time walk around feeling like, oh, everything is already narrowed, and I've already walked this path, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But I do think that's what that emotional experience is a lot of the time for me.
I think that's a, like, really nice, like, visualization of it. And I think you make a good point of, in reality, it's not an anchoring to pull back to the past. It's a, like, transplantation of past into future, in if it is something that you are looking forward to. And so it's just interesting of, it isn't necessarily, well, I don't know. I'll stop there, but I think it's interesting. And maybe we can ponder a bit more and then do try one more.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so we can rotate in a second. I guess I'll ask the last question that I usually ask to both of us in a given question, which is, like, are there any kind of threads of this that you want to, like, pull out or connect or just, like, leave on the on the what's the, like, the weaving table? The weft? No. On the table.
The braiding zone?
Yeah.
I liked how this question wove, if you will.
I will.
Around from, like, archives to shared memories, to types of memories or realizations, to emotional experience with memorabilia and how, like, relationship to it. Like, it was fun to see that pretty wide weave, but I don't have anything left that is largely outstanding.
I think the thing that I'll say is about, like, just to connect one last time to the second part of the question, which is, like, will pruning my attachment to these things help me feel my feelings more and be present, is that I think it is in those moments of the, like, missing an irretrievable thing, thus having that missing mean something about a, like, reaching for, like, time to move in the opposite direction from how it's moved, that I feel most, like, it is in that, sometimes can be sweet, but sometimes, I don't know, like, wistfulness that I'm most, like, oh, I don't, is this helpful to me? Because that is not going to happen. I'm not going to be, but then I have the response to myself of, like, okay, well, but also, what can it tell me? What are the things that I miss or that I want or that I remember and that I love, like, tell me about how I want my life to look, and so that I don't think that it's always... So, short answer, I don't know. Okay, should we...
I like that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks. Should we put in another question?
Yeah.
Okay, we still good to put in any of these four?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll see.
We'll see. Okay, everyone. Whoa. Do you want to do that one?
Sure.
Yeah. I'm stressed. It's okay. okay, Ellie, can you read the question? Or what if we answered it without ever naming it? No.
Without saying the question?
Yeah. No.
No.
Go for it.
Okay. The question is, what is good friendship?
Well, as two people who have never thought about friendship, I just don't really feel that we're qualified to think about this.
Probably not. Maybe we should pick a different one.
Okay, Ellie. Tell me about how this landed on your shortest of lists.
Okay. Well, I think friendship is the best thing in the world. I do. Like, I recently read...
like a Dr. Seuss poem. I think it's the best thing. I do.
I do. I recently read somebody's... like, Facebook story something.
Yesterday when I was posting things on my Instagram story in a, like, listen to the show way, Ellie was lying there next to me, eyes wide, and she was like, this is fascinating. How are you doing this?
Okay,
this is
listen.
So interesting. So, Facebook story, whatever. Go
listen,
on.
I don't post things on Instagram, and Didi was very quick when it came to putting the little captions and links and making the white... black background. I guess I'm somewhat easily impressionable, but anyways, I was reading his thing and it said,
like, someone you know or
someone,
like,
I know. And there was just a picture of something and it had the caption, friends and family are the nectar of life.
Oh.
And I thought, yeah, I think so. Like,
tell me more about the visual.
I don't remember what the picture was.
No, in your mind when you think about friends and family as the nectar.
I see. Well, I think of nectar as delicious and sweet, and the thing that one, a nectar-consuming animal, might have to, like, really cherish and look forward to. Like, otherwise there are other things to do, like fly around. And no, but seriously, like, I think friendship is just the best thing. And so the reason that this made my shortlist is because, like, good friendship is foundations of friendship, and so that's why I wanted to talk about it, and because you're my friend, and so I wanted to talk about friendship with you.
Wow, you never told me that before. That's not true.
Get out of here. Why did this make your shortest of shortlists?
I have a follow-up.
Okay.
Follow-up.
Okay.
Okay. Well, you didn't answer the question. What's good friendship?
Oh, that's true. I didn't. Well, I'll think on it for a sec. Do you have any comments?
What is good friendship, and why did it make it onto my shortest of lists?
Yeah.
Well, Ellie?
Yes?
Well, okay, I think that like, both that you and I, like, our friendship has looked a lot of different ways, both in, like, a format way. Like, we have lived in the same building, we have been roommates, we have not lived in the same building, but yes, in the same city. We have lived across the country from each other, we have lived in different countries from each other. Mm-hmm. Mostly the same. But sometimes different countries from each other. We have, like, you know, talked on the phone very often. We have, like, texted very, whatever. Just, and so that's, like, in a format way, but also kind of emotionally, like, we just, like, our friendship has meant a lot of different things. And also, like, we are both people who, like, I know there are people who through whatever combination of circumstance and intention, like, their circles are separate in their lives, and we are, I think, are both people who, like, enjoy a, like, I want, like, you know my whole family, and I know your whole family, and I've met your friends, and you've met my friends, and like, we also, as a consequence, have, like, have contacts for each other and have, like, seen each other in lots of different friendships. And so I think that, like, part of what makes me curious to talk about this with you for a brief time is that reason.
Cool.
Yeah.
How long do we have until the next, the outro?
Oh, just 6 minutes.
Okay. Just for my portioning.
Yeah.
Okay. What is good friendship? Sometimes when I listen to the show, I wonder if the contestants have...
Do not, under any circumstances, refer to the people who I have on the show as contestants.
I thought you would like that.
Okay, Jeff.
I've wondered if they think, how much they think about the questions in advance. And just for the information of any current listeners, we picked these questions...
Okay, pull the curtain back.
Yeah. We picked these questions, like, right before we came on air. And then
we didn't even pick them. We made a short list, and then we picked them randomly on air.
So there is just some processing time. I think part of good friendship... there's so many things. I think... Part of it... I think, A component of foundation is, like, enjoying time together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that can be a big piece, but it's not all of them. It's not anywhere near...
the other pieces?
The other pieces. Well, maybe we can puzzle together. So I think, like, enjoying time together is one. And then there is one of, like... showing up. Showing upness of, like, the other person both being there when you need them to be, mm-hmm. but also just, like, showing up in ways that are beneficial or, like, feel good to your life. And I think I don't think that has to be an always. Like, I definitely don't think that if, like, somebody doesn't show up a couple times, then they're a bad friend. No. Right, but like as another component of foundations, I think that showing up and like I don't know why the word generative is in my mind so much these days, but like go for it.
I think there's two other I like those. I think there's two other things that initially come to mind. I'm just going to say the words so that there are keys that I can come back to. And one is about reciprocity, and one is about. No single data points. Okay, so the one about reciprocity, what I mean is that I think we talked about this in some episode last year. I don't remember though. About like what friendship feels like is when I'm not in a state of accounting.
Yeah.
When I'm not in a state of like you have done this thing, and now like I should do this thing, or I have done this for you, and I'm checking my calendar to see when you will do it for me, whatever. Yeah. Just like not in a state of like accounting. Although like that's not sticky, but it's something to think about because it's yes, like I understand why one direction of that like conclusion could be towards like, but then how do you notice when something is uneven and is imbalanced? But okay, assuming that we can all use some like we have judgment beyond just like that one metric. Yeah. And then the other thing that came to mind was about data points. Oh, yeah. No single data points is that if I'm not in a constant, like, good friendship feels like when I'm not in a constant state of, if I do this one thing, this will change how you think about me, or, and on the flip side, that I am not, like, taking single data points from the other person and being like, and here's this conclusion that I've drawn about you.
Good one.
And certainly not doing that in the absence of, like, that, of, like, co-processing that with the other person.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that those are two additional things that
I agree.
That come to mind.
I agree. Another one for me is, like, motives, if you will. Mm. Like, there are lots of different reasons why people want to be friends, and I think that there are lots of motives behind, or potentially lots of motives behind good friendship. I think, well, maybe not. Like, I think most of the good motives behind good friendship is just, like, caring about a person and like wanting to be in each other's lives. And when I think about motives that would make me, that wouldn't necessarily disqualify the friendship from good friendship in my conception, but would make me want to explore it more. Examples are like, oh, you know, we became friends in math class and you're friends with me because I'm good at math and I help mm-hmm. you with your homework. Mm-hmm. Or like, there's obviously much more manipulative motives, which I think then like are already, mm-hmm. if the purpose is that of manipulation for like money or attention or to make sure. someone jealous, like those are kind of obvious disqualifiers.
Right.
But I do think there is place to ask, like, where does this friendship come from?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, does it come from me loving the other person and like wanting us to like mutually benefit each other's lives yeah. effectively, or is it something else? And yeah. if the answer is it's something else, then I think it gets into less certain territory.
Yeah. I would be curious, and for right now, if there are things that come to mind, but I also know that time, but like, yeah. I'd be curious if you have examples that come to mind of like, what are the more subtle versions of like,
sure.
The more subtle versions of like, oh, what are motives that like for you have not felt yeah. good or might feel like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll think more on
okay.
it. And I really like the two that you said, and I'm curious if there's anything else we want yeah. to add to foundations.
Yeah. Oh man. I feel like I'm like, oh, is there something obvious or missing?
Yeah, maybe.
I think something is like wanting to, like, I think I have used this word, I think, with you before. Like, I am sometimes unpredictable to myself in terms of like what I want to like share with people and what I want to like, including with friends, like what I want to like talk to people about, and that is something that like complicates what I'm about to say, but still I think it's true that I think generally of good friendship as like ones where I genuinely want to like tell you things, and including yeah. things that I like don't love,
yeah,
and including
yeah.
things that I'm like want to figure out with you or with yeah. like with whoever, yeah. So that is one thing I think I would add.
I agree and I add to that a sense of like trust, effectively, of like, If there is a component and a desire for sharing, then the other person takes it and treats the information that you share with them as you want them to treat yeah. it. And also, kind of related to the single data point thing.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Like, doesn't, within reason, like, doesn't impact how
yeah.
they, like,
yeah.
see and love
yeah.
and treat you.
Yeah. Well, Ellie, I know. Ellie just pointed at the time. Okay.
Okay.
Ellie, We are reaching the uh-huh. time of our next stage of this
great
not television show, and so show. We are at the lightning round stage.
Oh yes,
and I'm gonna ask you some questions, and
okay.
You must be swift. I am required to say, even though it is rare that a contestant heeds me in this situation. Okay. Oh, okay. Why does stuck happen when it does?
Because the world is really sticky and sometimes we stiffen it.
Nice. How much of physical feats equals willpower? Like, could I, given enough food, sleep, etc., bike up any hill?
Yeah, I think it's most of it.
Why does what sticks in, why does what sticks in our mind stick?
Oh, because it is sensorily or emotionally profound.
How to not take things for granted, not only in moments when it seems that they might go away.
Take a deep breath in and stretch and say, oh my god, I can't believe this is happening.
Yeah, you do that constantly. Wow, I love that. Which comes first, changing things or self-compassion?
I don't know.
How to map the spread of info about various topics, including IRL interactions?
Well, network diagrams, but they're hard to make in real life and best just conceptualized.
As someone who has made several. Why is it so hard to go to sleep just a half hour earlier?
Oh my god, I don't know. But because really there's so much fun to be had, and when there's energy, and there's a sense that at some point there won't be, so it might as well be capitalized on.
I'm going to do one more, and then you can ask me some if you want.
Okay.
Classically.
Oh no.
In a question that I would lie in our shared room and ask you many nights, what is going to happen with everything?
And then the next line on the script is, with what?
What is going to happen? With what? And then with everything.
Right. Then I say, oh, I think it'll be squishy.
Okay, my turn. I guess.
Okay. What fun things should I be planning for people right now?
Oh, put all the birthdays and half birthdays on your calendar. Oh my god, you were scrolling up into other territory.
Well, I don't know which ones you
read. Yeah, yeah. Do as you wish.
Have I always been the same or am I recent?
Oh, I am a patchwork of both the same and recent, but I would say I am more the same than I am recent.
How to tell if you like someone and can you will yourself to like someone?
Dear God, thank you for the tingles that I felt. Dear God, sorry for forgetting about you. Thank you for the tingles that I felt in my body. That was nice.
Lovely. Shout out to the
Constellation Prize podcast by Bianca Gaber.
Episode 1, highly recommended, and the others. How do other people think?
Oh my goodness. I really believe that I know a lot of the time that I would hazard that I'm probably wrong. Okay. It is the time. Do you want one more?
One more.
So quickly.
Okay.
So quickly.
I'm good.
Okay, Ellie, what is a question that has been on your mind of late?
Oh, thanks for asking. This one I did think about just slightly in advance. It's, what are the factors that contribute to closeness in a relationship? What are their weights in determining the acceleration of the relationship? And do all relationships have the same closeness potential?
Oh, love that end part. Okay, cool. Fun. Thank you. And who is the person who you wish to nominate to be on the show? Which, I will say, when I mentioned this question earlier, Ellie was like, well, who should I nominate? I don't know.
I was brainstorming, and I nominate my brother, Jake Sullivan.
Jake Gelsell.
Indeed.
Nice. I hope you're listening, Jake. Okay, wow. To everyone who is listening to the show, thank you for hanging out. We love that you're listening, and we want to hear your thoughts on the show, on the format, on the content. If you are someone who's listening who doesn't have my information and is not actively on a text thread with me, you can find me on Instagram at devo.bee. This is Naomi and Emily told me to do this last week, so I'm doing it now. And I would love to hear what you think. And thank you so much to
that
you
was fun.
For coming to visit me on a week's notice and coming on the show right now. Anything else you want to say before we close out with a song?
No, that was great.
Okay, we're going to close out with a song. It's a great song. You should stick around, and we'll see you next week, same time, same place, Big Little Questions. Okay, here we go. Fuck. I mean, shoot. Thank you.